they are racially profiling when making stops, or whether they are properly disciplining officers for certain infractions.
TV broadcasts, probably telepathic messages, from other minds deep in thought.
Listening to the radio at the same time.
And this radio simply makes audible something that you thought was inaudible.
I'm Jesse DeGroot, the marketing representative for the Mack Hayden Theater in Chatham, New York, and you're in tune to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
Help WGXC vibrate on and keep essential radio on your 90.7 FM frequency. And at WGXC.org, wavefarm.org/listen, there's many ways to tune in. You can use the TuneIn app. You can tune in on your phone, your computer, your tablet, or your transistor radio. Please consider making a sustaining support pledge. $5 monthly pledge, just 17 cents a day, will keep the radio vibrating on at 90.7 FM, keeping community voices on the air. Make a pledge today at wgxc.org/donate. Tuesday is election debate day on WGXC Community Radio. Earlier in the day, tune in the Framework Show about field recording, phonography, and the art of sound hunting with works from Kate Carr, Philip Soliday, Robert Scott Thompson, and Mickey Yui. Then at 7 p.m. on the Ralph Nader Radio Hour, Nader speaks to George Farrar, the author of No Debate, who talks about the Commission on Presidential Debates and how that works. Then at 8 o'clock, we get ready for the presidential debate with an hour of presidential campaign songs and more. 9 p.m., we pick up Pacifica Radio's coverage of the debate between President Donald Trump and Joe Biden on the radio at 90.7 FM WGXC.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable. All the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Lillian Liu of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Good evening. You are listening to Tech Talk with Bill and Ralph. You're listening live on WGXC. Our call-in phone number is 518-697-7400 or 518-622-2598. Call in with any of your tech questions, problems, quandaries, mysteries. It's all here. Good evening.
Or just to listen to Bill's phony baloney radio voice, which doesn't sound even remotely like what he sounds like in real life. So those of you who know him just absolutely have to tune in just for the lulls.
This is the real Bill Collier.
Well, la-dee-da.
Hearing all these years, Ralph, is the fake.
As the fake Bill Collier. Okay.
Now you know.
Well, the jig is up. Repeat, the jig is up. So, Bill, we know you actually listen to tech news as your weird and nerdy idea of a good time. Was there any tech news since last Monday?
Well, as you know, there's a federal court that issued a stay in the president's effort to shut down TikTok. So that is an ongoing drama. No doubt all the little TikTokers are happy for the stay of execution, and hopefully all of that works itself out. Zoom has announced that from now on, if you're doing Zoom meetings, you go to a Zoom meeting and you used to like just normally getting right into it, you now have to let everybody has to go to a waiting room automatically, and then the host has to let you in, as opposed to you just showing up and being there. There's a very good reason for that, because people were just kind of brigading Zoom calls, and they actually produced some quality content that the Zoom call host didn't necessarily want. So that's just kind of designed so that the host can look and say, that guy seems strange. I still get into Zoom rooms, no problem. And evidently, these people haven't got the memo. So
right about what is about Bill Collier doxed as Dr. Evil.
I don't think that's that's a mystery either. We did get actually a couple email questions, which we'll get into after we get some calls. One of the things that I wanted to do today, Mr. Banco, was to talk about some myths. Do you know that there are?
Sure. There was the myth of Icarus and Daedalus, and there was the myth of Narcissus. You'd like that one, Bill. I'm going to have to email you that one. And there's the myth of Orpheus. So, yeah, I know quite a few myths.
I hope these myths are all about me. Not that I'm narcissistic. Right.
No, of course not.
Well, I have a couple myths for you. Let's start while we wait for our first call. I'm going to start with myth number one. Are you ready?
I'll never be ready, but I'm as ready as I'm ever going to be.
All right.
Wow, that was a deep sigh, Bill, a deep, soulful sigh. Has your puppy, Bad Dog, been mistreating you again?
No, that's not at all what happened.
Okay. I'm glad to hear that.
No, I was about to get into... Hello. So let's start with myth number one. I'm gonna ask you the myth and see if you know the answer to it.
Okay.
And you can tell me if I'm true or false. It's okay to leave your phone on the charger overnight. It doesn't hurt the battery life. True or false?
True. I do it all the time. Of course, my battery life now is down to about 3 minutes per charge. But I assume that that's from some other. I assume that's from some other source. What is your?
Wait a minute,
narrative.
your battery life is down to 3 minutes per charge, or are you just...
Yeah.
Your 3 minutes is as
okay,
a day.
Okay, maybe yeah. 20 minutes, you know. But I'm sure it's not from leaving my phone plugged in all night. Because that would obviously fill up the battery with electricity, wouldn't it? Duh.
So, having your battery charge overnight is not a problem. Your phone will automatically turn off, stop charging at when it gets to 100%. And yes. Then only when it does this trickle charge thing, where only when it goes down below does it charge up. But there is a reason why you might not want to always leave your phone charging overnight if, in fact, it is already at 80%. And do you
really
know why that is?
To keep my electric bills down in the house?
No, because myth number two is I can leave the charger on forever. That is a myth.
You turn your how do you turn your... I just plugged mine into the wall. How do you turn your charger off?
Okay, so what that means is people think that they can keep their phone connected to a charger all the time. So if they're working at home, they just leave it on the charger and it's at 100% all day long.
Yeah. Isn't that a good thing?
That's wrong. That's the wrong
thing. Oh, what? What is your opinion of the right answer?
What? It's not my opinion. So what is the optimal number that you generally don't want to charge your phone over unless you absolutely have to? You know what it is?
Yes, 100%.
No.
Oh.
This okay. is stump the Trump.
I'm sorry. I'm not the Trump. I'm the chump.
Try to I said keep it straight. I said chump.
Well, I see. What's the optimal? Okay, 99%.
No.
98%.
80%.
80, like 80?
You do not want it to be zero. That's another thing. So basically, you don't want to let your phone typically go below 10% if you can avoid it. But generally, you don't want it to go over 80%. Here's the reason why. So every battery has a fixed amount of cycles.
Right.
In other words, the cycle is from 0 to 10. So you want to kind of keep yours, or 0 to 100. So you want to keep your phone charged below 80% so you don't keep running through these cycles. So they actually did a study, and if you keep your battery at about 80% on a regular basis, it increases your battery life by 200%.
200%?
Yeah, that's twice as long. It sounds big, but it's twice as long.
Okay.
So you don't necessarily want to go below 10%. Only once in a while do you let it go to 0%. It has something to do with calibrating the battery life, but don't do that if you don't need to. So basically, you want to keep your phone charged at between 10 and 80% on a regular basis. Unless you're using an Apple phone, in which keeping it at 0% is fine, because who wants to use those crappy phones?
Oh, they're the best. You are such a, you know, you are still upset with your wife, Eve, and that little trick that the snake and she played on you back in the Garden of Eden. So I'm sorry, but you've been pouting about that for what now, 3,500 years, 4,000 years? Get over it.
Yeah, I know. I've been around that long.
Yeah, it sure looks that way.
I do think the Earth is a couple billion years old at least, so.
Yeah, I bet you also think that it's round.
Very. Well, it's not perfectly round.
Okay, rotund.
Yeah.
Okay, Collier-esque. How's that?
Yeah, it's basically
not perfectly round, semi-spherical, and a little bit lumpy, right? Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
So we have Betsy from Vermont calling in, and then after we talk with Betsy, I'll give you myth number three.
Okay. That's good. And let's, Bill, I know how much you wish you had been reincarnated as a U.S. senator this time, but let's not filibuster poor Betsy. Let's take her question, talk to her about whatever cockamamie answer you were attempting to fob off on her. And then in, 5 minutes or so, give one of the other teeming millions a chance to call in. What do you say?
I we'll see.
Hello, Betsy from Vermont.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you all tonight?
Uh-oh. I think our studio tech was just messing with your head. I hear nothing. I know nothing. I see nothing.
Hello, Betsy from Vermont. Are you on?
Hello again, gentlemen. Can you hear me now? I was going to say, you guys are tech talk and you can't hear a phone?
What's that? Yeah.
Hi, Betsy.
Okay. That. All right. Well, nice to hear you guys talking about things. And the charger stuff is interesting to me. I don't know how you figure out when the thing, unless you monitor it closely, is getting close to charge. But I had a question about cell phone photography. Is that within your realm?
Sure. Go ahead and ask. If I don't know the answer, I'll blame Ralph.
He'll make something up.
Okay. Terrific. Well, I was just on a lovely stroll in the evening and decided to take a picture of the moon coming up for a friend. And I took a picture, but the phone, in its infinite wisdom, seems to have blanked out the little silver moon that was coming up in the middle of it and presented me with nothing but the sky and a cloud. And is it because it's trying to correct for too high a contrast, or what's up with this thing?
So actually, in your phone settings, and I'm not sure if you're using Android or
Bill, what are settings?
Apple.
Bill,
in your
I'm an Apple.
Taking off into
camera this, setting.
What are settings?
Yeah. So if you're already in the camera, you should see little icons like a gear or something that should indicate settings, or there's just different icons, and there's so many different kinds for different apps.
You must be a lot smaller than me, because I can't get into my camera. My camera's about the size of my head. Do you mean if you're looking at your
in the colloquialism of the common English vernacular, getting into an app simply means opening it and looking at it. But that's how normal people talk.
Oh.
Betsy understands. She's smart.
Well, I'm sure she's smart, but why don't you ask her if she understands rather than telling her that she understands, you patriarchal pig.
I think there's something that slightly resembles a spoked wheel.
Okay, so if you click on that, it should have some settings in there, and one of them should say night.
Ah.
It says night, click on it, and that should give you a moon if your camera's working right.
All right, well, I will give that a try next time. Thank you very much.
Very good.
Well,
have fun.
Thank you, Betsy from Vermont.
Thanks.
We will let you off the hook now. But Bill, do you actually have a cell phone? Last time I was at your place, do you have one of those black rotary phones with a twisted cord and plugged into the wall? Have you moved all the way up to a flip phone?
Yes, I have. In my phone, I click the more button, that's where that is, and then I pick settings. Again, it's different for every phone. It's hard to like tell somebody exactly where to go in an app when the apps have different names for things, different icons
sure.
for things.
But on the home page or the
like, so when I go to more, I literally have a thing that says night, and if I click on it, no, even on the home page is different, Ralph. There's no universal thing. Sometimes
right.
it's a gear, sometimes it's a spoke with a wheel, sometimes it's a thing that says settings.
Right. But I'm just saying, on an iPhone, which is what grown-ups use, all the iPhones have essentially the same.
I do not have an iPhone in front of me. Why don't you open up your iPhone?
I said it's what grown-ups use. Okay. You're exonerated from having an iPhone. There is a little thing that looks like the insides of a clock with a gear within a gear. And underneath it in tiny little letters, it says settings. So if you click on that, it says things like airplane mode and Wi-Fi, which will give you the name of the network you're on, and Bluetooth and cellular and personal hotspot. So is that what you got?
Not on mine. No, mine takes me to something different when I do that. Mine actually has settings for the camera itself. So you have those are different settings. Again, it's an app. It's a different app. So there should be something on there that tells you, like it'll have day, night. There's all kinds of names.
Okay.
I, for instance, have a button that says Scene Optimizer, and it just automatically detects the setting and changes it for me.
Wow, that is cool. What you got?
I have an Android. Obviously, it's superior because things are in a logical place. Whereas with the Apple, they like to keep you guessing.
Well, I'm glad you think that, Bill. Androids were built for simple-minded people. And I'm so glad to know that you find that simpatico. Says a lot about you.
It is true.
Okay. Yeah, well, there was actually a very interesting article on the interwebs this week about cell phone cameras and why it's impossible. People out west who have been, you know, living with California, Oregon, Washington, living with all the smoke from all those forest fires, why when they try to take a picture of the sky, which is kind of orangish and hazy on their, with their cell phones, it doesn't show up. And it turns out that there's something complicated called the color temperature that cell phones are not well adapted to capturing changes in the look based on that. So now different cell phones have different levels of sophistication in their cameras. And all I know is that once you graduate up from a flip phone, Bill, you're going to be astonished and delighted at the kind of cool things that you can do with your camera.
Yeah, the setting that you need for iPhone for the night sky, in particular, is your exposure time slider, which is at the bottom of the screen, and you can slide that in either direction in order to give yourself increased exposure time, which would allow you to capture the moon. That is the particular way to do it on the iPhone.
Okay. Well, good night, moon.
Whereas on my phone, I just hit a button and it just does it, because that's how it should be for humans.
And other simple-minded creatures. So, okay, good. Well, I'm hoping that your station video is working, because mine is not. All I have is a picture of you looking like a refugee from some kind of African safari.
That's my safari outfit. That outfit, you know, it's interesting. It was taken on my porch in this house that I'm in right now, but it was taken before I moved out of this house. And now I have moved back, and that's 8 years old. And I haven't changed at all. In fact, I look exactly like that. I go to sleep in those clothes. I mean, let's just be real.
Oh, your poor dog. Poor bad dog. It must be so terribly confusing for him.
Bad dog is very happy. So as you can see, he went out to the woods yesterday.
Yes, you showed me a little movie of that.
So, right, do have a question. It is via email, so I will ask the question. Pretend to be the caller, and this time I'll ask you, Benko, so that you can fumble and bumble, and then I can give you the right answer. Are you ready?
Well, I feeling lucky, punk.
Okay. So my phone keeps freezing, and I keep seeing low internal memory. What can I do?
Well,
I assume on iPhone you just throw the phone out, but
yeah, or drop it in the bathtub. I'm a trained professional, so listeners, do not try that at home. There was a very stupid, funny story about somebody who claimed to have invented an app that would make their phone waterproof. And they actually managed to get it by the people in the Apple iPhone store who just weren't paying attention. And at least one person, one not really very bright person, actually downloaded the app and then dropped their phone into a bucket of water to see if it worked. And guess what?
It worked.
Bye-bye iPhone. Right. So we do want to keep our cell phones out of water.
Okay. Well, that is totally not the answer.
No, I'm guessing.
Your phone is freezing, and you keep seeing low internal memory.
Right. And you do not want to throw it in your washing machine and try to wash away whatever it is clogging it. My guess is that you have too many that you are not on the cloud, and you have too many apps open that are using up your internal memory. What you need to do is you need to flip it open, flip it down so that you can see. You want to double click on the button so you can see what programs you have open and running. And then you should just close everything that you're not actually using. So that, Mr. Wise Guy.
That is your answer, and that is wrong.
Oh, well, you know, just because you disagree doesn't make it wrong.
The apps, now if an app is clogging up memory, you'll get a notification. But for the most part, when it says low internal memory, it means storage. So if it's like your processor that's slow because too many apps are open, you will get a notice from time to time telling you have too many apps running, you know. But for the most part, you can run as many apps as you want on your phone. It's not like your computer. In fact, I'll get into specifically why you don't necessarily want to close apps on your phone. If they're apps that you normally use, just leave them up. So the real solution is the first thing to do is to see if you are connected to the cloud. Yes. And most phones, even iPhones, have services related to the cloud connected directly in the App Store or your provider. Like I'm Verizon and I have a cloud service through Verizon. I have, what is that thing? I have, I have Dropbox, I have Google Photos, and I have OneDrive. So I have my phone set up so
your
that...
Your thing.
What?
Oh, you... Right. Yeah.
OneDrive. OneDrive.
You might have OneDrive, right?
I do have OneDrive. So I have my phone set up so that it automatically takes my videos and my images and downloads them to the cloud periodically, so I don't run into that problem. Remembering cloud security issues, I literally ran across somebody recently that did not keep their cloud safe, and they had some naughty pictures. There's nothing wrong with their naughty pictures because it was for them and their spouse, so there was nothing untoward. Like it's private, there's no problem, but those pictures ended up on the internet because they didn't secure the cloud. So I don't generally wouldn't put anything like that on. I don't take any pictures like that anyway, because I'm pretty boring. But for those more exciting among us, don't use your phone for that stuff. And if you do, you know, just don't put it on the cloud because things can get loose. But other than that, that is a real concern. You want to have your stuff set up so that the cloud is working for you. Unused programs can take up a lot of space. So if you got some gaming apps that you no longer play, yeah, they take up a lot of actual memory on your phone, like not just the processing memory, but actual internal memory. So get rid of those kind of things. Look for large video files. Go to your video gallery, if I assume you have a video gallery for iPhone. Send them to yourself and delete them. Just don't keep large files on your phone.
Wait, what do you mean? What do you mean send them to yourself? And then
I'm going to explain that.
Okay, that is inscrutable.
No, it isn't. So if you have a file...
Wait a minute. Are you saying it's scrutable?
It is very scrutable. Because all you do is if you look at that file...
You better check with the FCC if you can say that things are scrutable over the air. I'm not sure about that one.
They're as scrutable as my OneDrive.
Okay, so bring it on.
So if you look at the file and you see it's large, there should be a share. Like for me, I just click on it and it has a share thing. I don't know for iPhone, but I'm sure that they have a share function in iPhone where you can share your files. And then you pick email and you email it to yourself. And once you've emailed it to yourself, you don't need it on the phone anymore. So the person who asked me this, her name is Julie, and she was very shy and didn't want to call. So that is the answer to her question. Now, next week, I'll let you know. She has an Android phone, so I happen to know that she will be able to just go into her gallery, click the file, and just hit the share thing, and she can send that file to herself. For the most part, though, the cloud should take care of that. And in her case, she also has Verizon, so she can just use the Verizon cloud if she'd like. That's actually automatically, you just go into, when you're on the front of our Android phones, we have these handy things, you know, on the front that we can use, or we can swipe up and look for programs, and I go to Verizon, and then I pick the Verizon cloud, and then I just activate it, and it does its thing.
And what does it cost?
I have Verizon cloud for free, so I don't think it costs anything below a certain threshold. I honestly don't know if it costs. I'm sure it costs something. I have a pretty robust cell phone plan, so it's sort of included. I mean, I've got like a business thing, so.
Oh, so it's,
yeah,
it's
I pay $300 or $400 a month.
It's not free. You're already overpaying for it because you've got an Android.
Oh, jeez. How do you activate the cloud on your Android?
Well, I wouldn't know. I don't have an Android.
I mean, sorry. You're right. On your Apple.
I pay $10 a month to Tim Gill, who is the guy who is the CEO of Apple. I just put a $10 bill in an envelope, mail it off to him. Tim Gill, care of Apple, and that takes care of it. I've got, you know, a couple of terabytes on what you so jargonesquely call the cloud. Will you explain to people what
we actually did
cloud?
A few shows back, but maybe somebody's listening that didn't listen.
We have new listeners
every week,
every episode.
Why don't you explain the cloud, Ralph?
Yeah, it's that kind of thing that's up in the sky that rain comes out of. Oh, and they look deceptively simple, but I was just reading on the interwebs that one of those big, inspiring, cute, fluffy-like cloud that looks like a bunny rabbit actually weighs 1,100,000 pounds. If you could just, I don't know how the scientists lassoed it and put it on a scale to weigh it, but those things
we have Michael ton. From Portland, Maine.
Yeah.
And then I'll let you explain the cloud afterwards, but for real. Hello, okay. Michael from Portland, Maine.
Hello.
Hello, Michael from Portland, Maine.
Hello. It's good to be on the air.
Welcome back. You sound familiar.
Yeah, I think you might have heard my voice from somewhere before.
Are you a movie star?
I'll never tell. I have a question, though. As you might have heard, there are elections coming up in the States. And I was just wondering how much influence, if they wanted to exert it, could platforms like Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Snapchat exert over the election? I don't mean people using the platform to buy ads, but I mean the platforms themselves, like things that they can do.
I didn't catch the first part of it. You're asking about the these apps and regards to their capability for elections. Is that right?
No.
Well,
asking about
in regards
the
for their own, the people who control the apps, their own ability to influence the outcome through like the basically the notifications, the messages that they can send to their own user base. Like when I log on to Facebook now or Instagram, I get a pop-up that asks me if I registered. But if Instagram decided, well, we're going to send that pop-up to just, like, maybe more of this political party than that political party, it could potentially have a broad influence on the election. So I was wondering, in your opinion, what can the platforms do and how much influence could it actually have?
I theorize that you could influence the election somewhat by doing that. I don't see a good reason why apps would want to do that, especially the risk of them getting caught doing that would be very problematic to the other half of the users who would be affected by that kind of behavior. On the other hand, I personally, even though I love tech, as you know, I personally am very leery, or yeah, I'm very leery of any outside influence trying to manipulate me. People should try to keep themselves informed of issues. They should make decisions. And if they were more disciplined about that, then the apps could just, you know, they couldn't influence hardly anybody because everybody would be thinking for themselves. That doesn't always happen. So I think technically they could do it because they have ways of, I do know they have ways of looking at demographic data to decide, you know, if everybody's Green Party and they want to push the Green Party, they could theoretically just say, we're only going to send it to Green Party people. But I think it would be pretty obvious, especially, Michael, you probably have friends that are across the spectrum. I'm sure if you kept hearing only a certain group of friends were seeing it, nobody else was, you might have some questions. So,
all right, I got it. Thank you for that.
I have friends, one of whom is my co-host of the show, who are actually on the spectrum. So between your friends who are across the spectrum, my friends who are on the spectrum, Michael from Portland, Maine, I think we've got it covered.
Nice.
Okay. Well, I just want to remind any Trump supporters who are listening, don't forget to vote on November 13th. And don't let any liberals tell you election day is November 3rd.
You know what? I think we have some Portland, Maine campaign conspiracy going right on here
just
on
kidding.
The airwaves. Gotcha.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that great answer. I'll go back to listening on the radio.
Yes, you do that. And I will remind everybody, just in case, the election is on November 3rd, unless you're doing a mail-in ballot or absentee ballot. The phone number is 518-697-7400 or 518-622-2598. And those are the call-in numbers so that you can see if you can stump the banco.
No,
which is hard, as you know.
It is. Our canonical game here, Bill, is called Stump the Collier, and you know it.
I realize that's how you feel. I would also like to make a note that I believe it is today. Is that correct, Ralph?
Yes, today is Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur.
I am not sure what to say on Yom Kippur, but maybe you know, Ralph.
Yes, Yom Tov.
Yom Tov.
Yom Tov. Yes, so give it a try. I know you don't speak Arabic, but you could always learn.
Bismillah Rahman Rahim.
Well, there you go. Quoting the Quran on us, are you? Okay.
But you had to do that because you knew I knew that, right? So
of course.
For our Arabic guest, I know that I butchered your language, but I do try. Okay, so back to the cloud, Benko. Back to the cloud with you.
Okay, well...
Oh, no, we have a call. Hold on, we have a call that is going to be more interesting to you.
Darn it, just
Hank.
When I was about to... Hank.
Hank. Hank, Hank from Hastings-on-Hudson. Ooh, what a nice name for a town.
Oh, right, Hastings-on-Hudson. You know who lives there? Seth Godin, the aphorist, the America's greatest living aphorist. Lives in Hastings-on-Hudson. Can you imagine such a thing?
It just sounds like a very nice town. Hello, Hank.
It is a beautiful town. I've been there. Hello, Hank.
Hello. Hi. I'm not hearing you very clearly. I don't know why.
Can
you hear me now?
This phony radio voice that's almost impossible to understand. It's all his fault. So, but if you ask a question, he will make up an answer.
Yeah, I do want to. I'm sorry. If I talked over you. I do have a question. I have an old laptop, a Mac laptop, that used to work very, very well. And I used it for research for years. And then the last time I tried to use it was in 2016. So that's 4 years ago. And I can't remember what the problem was, but it really didn't want to work. And I said, I'd better go to whatever, you know, I think TechServe was still in business at that time in New York. And, anyway, I didn't do it, and I just went, oh, boo-hoo, you know, my laptop is on the blink, and I'll get it, you know, working again when I get around to it. Now, among other things, that laptop had a disk drive, which meant that I could watch DVDs in it or on it. And then lots of things happened, and now it's 2020, and I decided that it was time to look at some DVDs again. And that's not the question. The question is, though, lately I have been wanting to get at some of the files, research files, that I created on the desktop of that laptop. Now, I'm not living in the same area where it is, but I mentioned it to somebody much younger than me who seems to know what they're talking about, you know, that I want to revisit those files. He said, be very careful. You really have to get those files off of that desktop, out of that laptop, because they may very well be corrupted by now. And that surprised me, because I'm a kind of simple-minded person, and in my mind, because they were just sitting there in the laptop, nothing was happening to them. But is this person right, and are my files maybe corrupted?
So laptops are, you know, they've got memories, and if there's any kind of static electricity in the area where it's stored, or if you've been running it, like, on and off, like you said, files do tend to get...
No, I haven't run it in 4 years, though. It's been just sitting there without...
So it's basically just sitting there for 4 years. And the only thing I can think of that would cause the files to be corrupted would be the fact that it's been sitting around and it's probably been exposed to some static electricity, just normal.
Bill, she's not saying she can't get into her files.
I'm sorry, I can barely understand what you're saying. It's just very indistinct. Can I try calling you back, maybe? And maybe we'll get a better connection.
Well, actually, are you listening to us on the internet or just on your phone?
No, should I do that? I can bring that up on my iPad in a moment.
Bring WGXC, Waveform WGXC, up and see if you can hear us any better.
I have it right here.
We can hear you. Great.
Now, should I stay on the phone as well?
Why don't you hang up? And by the way, if you don't like Bill's answer to your question, we will arrange to have him dunked in a big pot of ice cold water, so you can at least get your gratification from that.
You
can hang up and take the answer off the air, and if you don't like the answer, then you can call back. You got his number.
Fine. Okay. What do you say? I'm going to hang up the phone and I'm going to listen to you now. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Bill, you were telling that she hasn't used the computer in 4 years. She doesn't have it with her. It's in her, you know, it's in her Venetian palazzo or something like that. And she's just wondering that if she opens it up, whether she's actually going to find what was on the computer when she left it there 4 years ago, or whether it will somehow have magically degraded. Let me just say that I don't know what she's going to find, but I have an old computer that I just keep for emergencies, since I work on my computer extensively. And if I didn't have a computer and didn't have a way to get on the internet except for my iPhone, it would be a darn inconvenience or a catastrophe. And all of these old files that I've got, photos, Word documents, everything that I left on that and just neglected for the last 4 years, are still there. Last time I lit it up. It's a funny experience, because computers get more advanced and improved, so it feels, the interface feels kind of antiquated, but all of the data that I had on the computer is still there. And my guess is, if I had problems retrieving it, I could bring it into the Mac store, not the Genius Bar, but one of the licensed Mac stores, and they could retrieve the data from it and put it onto a new computer. So that's been my experience, that that is pretty
stable. That is your experience?
Your files are stable.
Ralph, that's your experience. But in reality, if you let a hard drive sit dormant, there are magnetic, electrostatic, there are environmental factors like moisture in the air. There are definitely reasons why hard drives that just sit around and do nothing will begin to get bad sectors, and those little bad tiny parts to them will start to degrade. So if you've been having something sit for 4 years and just in the middle of your room or something, yes, my advice to you is if you want to keep those files, get them off of there, because eventually they will begin to degrade. And if you get one bad sector in just one of your, you know, if you got a Word document and it has a bad sector in that file, well, you're not going to recover that Word document. You're just not going to recover it. So
well, here's a couple of points, Bill, and as I know it's a little high tech for you, but if you store your laptop under the bed, then you don't have anything to worry about. That's my trick. Take that old laptop that I'm not using, slip it under the bed. The under the bed monsters protect it from things like magnetic fields.
Do not listen to this man.
By magnetic fields and moisture and stuff like that. Now, if you don't want to store it under your bed because, you know, you don't have any under the bed monsters or something like that, then you should back up your hard drive, which, by the way, you should anyway. Now, in this modern newfangled era, you could back it up to the cloud, which we were talking about before, which is really just a series of computer hard drives that are put together in a big warehouse somewhere nice and cold, like under the ocean. And all of the data gets transported there in the twinkle of an eye, to put it, to use a technical term. And all of your files and stuff like that get backed up off of your hard drive.
Yes, Banco, that's all true. But this is it's a computer that's multiple years old. Hasn't been used in 4 years, so that's
tell
probably
her to put
no cloud
tell
involved.
Her to, tell her to, yeah, I know, but just
Hank,
two things
you're talking
here.
About Hank here.
I'm talking about Hank. Hank should, and the rest of you should, if Hank didn't, you should take a lesson from the tragedy of Hank. You should be backing up your computer regularly, whether you're backing it up to the cloud, unless, like Bill, you're keeping a lot of naughty pictures on there, then you don't want to back it up to the cloud. Or on an external hard drive, which you can buy a 1 terabit external hard drive, which, you know, used to cost like $100,000 and now costs like $50 at your local Staples. And you just plug it in.
We have two calls on the line.
The bottom line is back up your data, and this will not be something you should worry about. If you can't back up your data,
okay, Banco.
Store your laptop under your bed, where the under the bed monsters will protect it. Okay, next caller,
Chuck.
How you doing?
Hello, Chuck.
How you been? I have a question about.
I have an answer. Chuck, where are you from?
Hudson.
Chuck is in Hudson. Go ahead, Chuck.
Hey, Chuck from Hudson.
A friend of mine.
Are you the famous Chuck from Hudson that we've been hearing rumors about for months?
Yeah, about being a Venus. Oh, really? Yeah, I'm the artist. And I was wondering about if you leave a cell phone out in the rain. And three friends of mine left it installed over for a few days, and it worked again.
That's actually incredible, Chuck.
Excuse me?
That's incredible. Did you get pictures of the phone?
What's that?
Did you get pictures of the phone?
Bill? I couldn't hear what he said.
I did. He said some friends.
Could you
repeat it? They left the phone in the rain, and they put it in salt for 2 or 3 days, and it worked.
Yes. Yes, and I've also heard that if you put it in rice,
I think it works.
Uncooked rice,
that either salt or the uncooked rice.
That worked.
What?
It worked. I heard.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, I don't recommend anybody throw their cell phone in a lake, but I want to ask you a question though, Chuck. When your friend got the cell phone out of the lake, did he happen to see a lady with a sword?
Very good question.
But
sounds like your friend is the king or queen of everything.
That does work.
Awesome. All right, and now we are going to move
on. Have you ever heard of that?
Thank you, Chuck. That was very informative. We appreciate your call and hope you'll be here next Monday night and call in again.
Thanks. All right, we have Farouk in North Carolina. Greetings, Farouk.
Hello, Farouk.
Hello, good evening.
Welcome.
Nice to speak with you. Thanks for having me on the call. I'm becoming a regular, which is exciting for me because I'm learning a lot.
We are very glad that we're helping you become regular.
Good. Well, I appreciate the time, but I've got a sort of a general multi-pronged question about 5G. And I was hoping you can give me a little bit of clarity. And it's not a complicated question, but it's just out of my realm of understanding. So it's a three-pronged question. First, there's a lot of talk on social media about the advancement of 5G and utilization of it, and that there are, I hate conspiracy theories, but people are saying that perhaps it's dangerous or has some unusual effects, you know, on the person if you're too close to the towers. I would really take these things with a grain of salt, but number one, I was hoping you could give me a little bit of clarity that as this technology expands, you know, what should we expect? Are there any dangers? And if I may, I'll just ask the other two parts of the question, because they're again, very basic. I've read that 5G is not necessarily faster than 2.4G, and it actually doesn't penetrate through solid objects as well. And so in use of, you know, in using 5G in buildings and whatnot, it seems to be somewhat inferior to 2.4G. Why is it being promoted and advanced so aggressively? And then the third part of my question is, it's saying that industries are going to change because of it. Can you give us a little bit of highlight of what industries are most likely to be impacted by this type of technology?
Okay, so let's start with the conspiracy theories, which I love conspiracy theories. I'm not saying it was aliens, but it was aliens. But on a serious note, 5G, in order for a radio wave to affect your body, it would have to be magnitudes into the hundreds of thousands stronger than any 5G signal. I mean, you would have to like stick your tongue on the 5G transceiver and it'd be a massive citywide transceiver. And then maybe you would, you know, get a ring in your ear or something. But for the most, radio signals have not been proven to be harmful to human beings at the frequencies that we use them. It is interesting that you talk about 5G and the penetration factor. 5G is part of a whole network of things that are over the air. It certainly is a different kind of technology. In terms of speed, it is fast. It's a heck of a lot faster. I'm actually excited about having 5G because, you know, I can do things.
Bill, if I could be a little less technical than you in terms of a heck of a lot faster, it takes 10 seconds on 5G to download a streaming video that would take 7 minutes to download on 4G. So when you're talking about a heck of a lot faster, we're really talking about a heck of a lot faster. You can download that streaming video like almost instantaneously instead of having to sit there for 7 minutes and download it. Bill, is that...
That's absolutely true. And 5G is not like, they're not going to replace your Wi-Fi with 5G, for instance, 5G is one technology that is part of a mix of multiple technologies. So for things that have to penetrate, they'll use different technology. It's not going to be 5G or nothing. So it is sort of like a plethora. I love the word plethora, by the way. It's right up there, plenipotentiary. So it is a plethora of different technologies that are all going to be used together. So 5G can be made pretty much to go anywhere that they want it to go within reason. And for those areas where you have to use something like 2.4 or whatever, we already have the technology to do those things. It isn't an all or nothing deal. So when they implement 5G, no, it's not, you don't have to worry about whether or not it's going to penetrate into your house. I don't know if that answers the question, but I hope it does.
Yeah, just look, there is a lot of superstition that is always attached to technology. There are a certain number of people who look up in the sky and see the vapor trails, which are coming, you know, which are coming off of the wings of a jet at 30,000 feet. And it's just crystallized water. It's just clouds. And then they say, oh, those are chemtrails, and people are trying to control our minds with chemicals that are coming off of these planes. That's just fantasy. And so for some reason or other, it's just human nature. When there's a new technology that rolls out, some people believe that if they live within 100 yards of high tension lines, that somehow or other that has bad health effects. And, you know, is it a pretty to think so? But I've never seen any scientific data that shows a correlation there. And frankly, I would be astonished. You know, people would sue.
The other thing,
it would be in the news. So,
right.
Just because you read it on the internet, Bill, doesn't mean that it has to be true.
The other thing about the 5G and the penetration is, when people talk about it, they're just talking about, like, if you just set up a transceiver, there are different ways, which I won't get into, to project 5G beams that they can narrow cast them very narrowly for certain transceivers that are in your house. They can still get 5G through all of those things. They just have to transceive it or transmit it in a different way. And all of those technologies are in place now. So the brilliantness about the whole system, I think, is the fact that they have looked at, what about a building? What about cloudy day? What about this? What about that? And they realize there isn't a one size fits all, not even like for different cities at different altitudes and different latitudes. There isn't a one size fits all. You have to really customize your tech. So
which they do.
Bottom line is 5G is going to be much faster. It's going to be everywhere. It will not fry your brains. I am amused at the fact that people were burning, quote, 5G towers that turned out to be not 5G towers. So that was a thing in England. You know, we didn't do that here because obviously
we're smarter than the British.
Right? Water.
We beat them in the Revolutionary War, and we've been saving their tushies ever since.
Yes. Yes, and you got to love the Brits. You got to love the Brits, Farouk. Can I get a vote for the Brits?
One cheer for God Save the Queen. How's that? Three cheers. Three cheers for QE2.
I don't think we got to everything I wanted to get to. We didn't talk about the myths, some of the different myths about cell phone battery life that I wanted to get into beyond the ones we already did. I will save those. I have another question that will await next week that I just basically received, but it's too late to deal with. So it is, let's see what it says. Yes, exactly that. So next week we will have.
Oh, are you blowing a gasket again?
I don't have any control over it. It just sort of happens. What can I say?
Yeah. Well, you're coping. Your poor bad dog is coping very well.
Listen, folks, you have been listening to
Tech Talk with Ralph and Bill on WGXC 90.7 FM. We will be returning next week.
Don't threaten our listeners that way, Bill.
My ulterior